Okay, we're continuing the Shlishi. The third type of desire, says Rabbeinu Yonah, has some benefits. When a person sees that other people have and he wants it too, and he's happy that they have, he's fine with other people having what he has. So Hashem should bless him and should bless them. He says, nonetheless, this isn't the perfect route. He says, a person has to be his own entity. A person cannot or should not be so inspired by others. A person has to be self-motivated. A person has to say, I appreciate wisdom because wisdom is important. I appreciate that the only way I can accomplish is if I understand. I appreciate that I need to grow. If a person's desires stem from what they see outside, the way they see other people, the way they see other people grow, says Rabbeinu Yonah, that's not the way to go. He says it's better than the alternative, but it's not what we aspire for. What we aspire to is that I should motivate myself. Now, obviously, he's talking about a very high level. Most people aren't there. V'zeu shamar David HaMelech Alav Shalom, that's what King David said. Peace be upon him. Hashem negdecha kol ta'avati. He says, Hashem, it's opposite you that I have all my desires. My desires are about how do I do what you want? How do I channel myself that way? Ratza lomar ki kol ta'avato mitzad shamayni velo mikinat adam. Meaning, David HaMelech said, all my desires are because of what heaven wants, not out of jealousy from man. So, there's, what's it called? Higgins-Clark method, where they define personalities, introverts, extroverts, what type of people are. They give you a bunch of questions, and then they define your personalities. They break down, I think, to 16 personality types. So I was present when a person asked the rabbi, are you an introvert or an extrovert? The rabbi said, I don't know. So they asked him, but you go to events and you talk to people and you smile and you seem to love being with people. So the rabbi said, I don't know. So the person asked him, what do you mean you don't know? What does that mean? So the rabbi said, I'll tell you. Before I became a rabbi, I used to learn in yeshiva and I'd always go back to learning. I didn't spend my time going anywhere. I went to a wedding, I danced when I had to dance with the chasna, and then I'd go back to my sefer. I'd go to a meal, I'd eat the amount of time I need to eat, and then I'd go back to learn. So does that make me an introvert or an extrovert? And then I got this responsibility. So my responsibility is to talk to people, to be nice to people, to connect to people, to teach people. So now that's what I do. And I the interviewer says to the rabbi, he says, and what would you want to do? I'm trying to figure out what type of person you are. So the rabbi said, I don't know. So the interviewer said, what do you mean you don't know? So the rabbi said, well, it's been 20 years that I didn't bother thinking about what I want. My thought is, what am I supposed to do? And so when I thought I was supposed to learn, so I didn't go out and dance and spend time talking to people. I spent my time learning. And now I think my responsibility is to talk to people and be with people. So I'm doing that. I don't know what I want. I don't spend time thinking what I want.
Right,
right.
I don't mean to sound disturbed, but like saying realistically, people not everything with their desire, even not always personal.
In other areas, meaning a person knows when they want to eat, and there are people who don't know that either, right? You know, Rav Chaim Kanievsky was learning, and his grandson came in, and he saw that he was eating. So the grandson looks to see what he was eating. So there was paint that had chipped off the ceiling. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky thought it was leftover challah. So as he was learning, he was dipping his finger in and eating as he was learning. He didn't pay attention that he was eating sawdust or paint or whatever it was that had come off the ceiling. There are people that even that desire is not their focus. They don't pay attention to that. The Rabbeinu Yonah saying, Negdecha kol ta'avati, my desires are supposed to be channeled as to what I'm supposed to do. King David is describing one whose desire is focused on heaven, and it doesn't stem from jealousy of other people. That's what you guys noticed right away, that his description of desire is very similar to his description of jealousy. He's saying, right, that most of our desires revolve around jealousy, when desire can be self-maintained. It's not about other people, it's about me. Then suddenly desire can be channeled correctly. We find with regards to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was the prince. He was very wealthy. He was very close to the Roman governor Antoninus. And when he lay on his deathbed, after a lifetime of wealth, he raised his 10 fingers, and Rabbi declared, Master of the world, you know that I didn't even enjoy the amount of one pinky. I didn't enjoy it. It's true, I ended the meal, I used oil to oint my hands, I had all the amenities of life, I never did it for me. I didn't enjoy even a pinky's worth of life, because I did what I thought you wanted me to do. Even though our sages teach about Rabbi, that he was so wealthy that he had to have a special servant carrying all the keys to the different storage houses of wealth that he had. There was a person whose task it was just to carry that weight of keys. He had the wealth of a king called Shvur Malka. Nonetheless, he never indulged for his own sake. He did what he had to do for the mitzvos. Because he didn't allow his desires to be focused on the fleeting, passing pleasures of the world. This is Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So the second point we discussed today is desire. And he said, on the one hand, desire is necessary. Without it, a person doesn't get out of bed in the morning. He doesn't do anything. On the other hand, most desire is negative. It's connected to jealousy. It's connected to other people. Desire that is self-maintained, that is irrelevant of others. Desire that's focused on where a person should be in life, that's a desire that can drive them to the right places in life. And that's a desire a person should develop. Yeah?
Where a person should be, or where a person has the potential to be. I think that we have to distinguish between the two, because the nature of a person is not necessarily to be on the level where I don't know what I want. I'm only focused on what I'm supposed to be doing. I'd say that's more of a potential that we can all achieve, and you know, that maybe should even desire to be there, and through that desire, take the necessary steps of achieving it. But that I think it's more of a potential than. Than a verdict of where we should be. We should be there by default.
I'm not following.
Making Hashem's your will is a step.
I'm saying right now, Rabbeinu Yonah explains to us that the Mishnah, which is talking about desire and how to approach desire, what's the right balance. That, and then you came and you brought the examples of the rabbi who was asked by the interviewer, what do you want? What kind of person are you? I don't know. I don't pay attention to the answer. I don't pay attention to what I want. I pay attention to what I think I'm supposed to be doing, and I act that way. So my understanding is, my question is Rabbeinu Yonah and or the Mishnah coming to tell us that we should be at the level where our desire reflects that, character reflects that level of my desire is to do what I'm supposed to do, as opposed to thinking about what do I want? Or is that level a potential that our desire should bring us to achieving?
I think a person has to grow with time. You can't wake up one morning and switch everything. But I think a person can attain it. Everyone's probably heard of Rav Eliashiv. Passed away recently. He was a very big Talmud Chacham. He would answer the heaviest questions. The last 15 years, he was basically the only person who was on that caliber. And Rav Eliashiv spoke to many, many people every day. But the truth is that Rav Eliashiv was an extreme introvert, to the point where when he was a child and then a teenager and learned in yeshiva, he couldn't handle a chavrusa. He wouldn't talk to, because he didn't want to talk to people. He was such an introvert. He was so shy. He had a problem talking to a chavrusa. Rav Eliashiv, by his nature, didn't want fanfare, didn't want to talk to people. He would sit in his own corner and learn. And he could sit there for hours without talking to anyone, and he didn't want to talk to anyone. That was his nature. His nature was that he was a quiet, very, 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 extremely introverted person. To the point where we don't, I don't think any of us have met someone so introverted. So why wasn't he a hermit? You know, someone else with his nature would be a hermit. They'd go lock themselves up in a hut somewhere outside of society, show up once a month, do their shopping, and sneak out again, and don't bother me. If that's their nature, if that's what they enjoy. So Rav Eliashiv did what he felt he had to do. When Rav Herzog asked him to be on the high court of Israel, so he became a Rav here in the Jerusalem Beis Din. And then when he retired, and they asked him to be Rabbi in Mea Shearim, so he was Rabbi Mea Shearim. And in his last years, where he felt his responsibility was to answer tens of people each day, so he did that. I was in the waiting room. The waiting room was packed, and they'd rush you in so as not to waste his time. If you were next in line, you had to be at the door so that when the person asking him was stepping out, you'd already be sitting in, so that not to waste those seconds. So he answered people, dealt with people, spoke with people against his nature, in a major way against his nature, saying, I once met someone like this, where they were asked, could you verify a phone number? So the person answered, I thought it was a joke. They said, how do you want me to verify the phone number? So they were told to call information and ask. And the person said, I'm supposed to call information, but the person on the other end of the line is a stranger. I don't know them. So they said, I laughed. I thought it was a joke. And only later, maybe a year later, I understood that person was for real. They didn't feel comfortable talking to a telephone operator because it's a stranger. I don't know them. How could I talk to them? You're talking about an adult. I'm not talking about a little boy. It was for business, right. So, oh, wow, okay. There are people who have that nature. And then they can overcome that. They could channel their desires. They could channel their behavior. Behavior and desires is not the same, but they could channel it based on what they think they have to do. And in life, we do that. I mean, we do that all the time. The question here is, how much am I doing it because of external influences, and how much is it because I channel myself? Rabbeinu Yonah says, try to make it real, that you live the life you believe you should live. And based on that, you channel your desires. Yeah?
We will always be, on some level, addressed by everyone always, even in this new rarefied atmosphere, where someone has succeeded in making Hashem's will, his will, so he wants that, and the others are on the back burner. Is it expected that even that person that died will, you know, I have to watch myself on some level. I may have to say something that I shouldn't say. In other words, is it something that you're ever finished with? I don't think so.
So Chazal say usually not. Chazal say that usually a person does not hit the finish line when they're alive, but Chazal say there are exceptions. There are extreme exceptions. It says David HaMelech was able to reach a point where he said, Libi halal bikirbi. I have a hollow in my heart. I've been able to overcome certain aspects of my desire. They don't plague me anymore. That was exceptional. That involved a lot of work. Chazal say Yitzchak Avinu, when he was such an old man and he was blind already, he didn't have desires anymore. So he reached a point of disability where he didn't have desires. And the Gemara says there were rabbis who said that they lost their potency and they weren't happy about it. They said, oh no, I no longer have desire. Meaning, they didn't see it as a wonderful thing, great. I'm done with that chapter of life.
Well, there is something to be said for if you overcome something when you still have a desire, it's a much
Yeah.
Don't wait till you know longer.
Yeah.
So thanks.
So we're talking about desire and how that's supposed to get you out of bed in the morning, you know, to serve God. So I think it's the same that someone wants to eat breakfast so they get out of bed, and to eat breakfast they have to pray shakri. It's like what are we?
All that is desire. There are people who pray shachrit so they could eat breakfast, and there are people who pray shachrit because they want to pray shachrit.
People eat breakfast so they have the strength to pray shachrit.
But it's all desire. It's levels in what's right. I mean, the person who wants to eat breakfast and he's davening so he should eat breakfast, that's also a good level. It's not bad. We want to outgrow it, but it's still good. Question of good and better.
The desire we're talking about is the desire to serve God, not being kind of hollow.
But the desire to serve God includes eating breakfast. I can't serve Him well if I didn't have a good breakfast. But if my desire for breakfast stems from my desire to serve Him, then I might be more careful that my breakfast doesn't trample on other people. And I,